We do not currently have the staffing to meet the timeline that's in place right now.
This is like riding a bike. Once you know how to cut hair, you know how to cut hair.
I could have taken the top floor and sold everything off during the bowling season and then worked on down here. But as it turns out, I got a month, so I'm sort of like in a rush.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode, bail, barbers, ballots, and bowling. First up, after losing the Pittsfield, Massachusetts mayoral election on November 5th, City Councilor Melissa Mazzio has requested a recount. Mazzio lost to incumbent Linda Tyre by about 530 votes after a bitter race. Her written request raises allegations of voter fraud and tampering within City Hall. While Mazzio canceled an interview with WAMC, citing the need to confer with her legal team, Tyre hit back, saying she has 100% confidence in the city's elections procedures and is confident the results won't change. The recount is expected to begin next week once petitions for each city ward are approved and new election staffers are hired. While mayors across New York State are the latest to express concerns about the bail reform and other criminal justice law changes that take effect in January, the mayors say they don't have the resources or the money to properly carry out the new laws. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Beginning in January, cash bail will end for all misdemeanors and most nonviolent felony crimes in New York. There will also be changes to what's known as the discovery laws and will now require prosecutors to disclose within 15 days all of the evidence against people accused of crimes. The New York Conference of Mayors is joining the state's DAs and sheriff's associations in voicing worries about the logistics of carrying out the new laws. Binghamton Mayor Richard David says his city currently does not have enough people to meet the new discovery disclosure timelines.
We do not currently have the staffing to meet the timeline that's in place right now.
Robert Kennedy, mayor of Freeport on Long Island and president of the group, says it's going to cost his village $2.2 million each year to comply with the 15-day requirement for the average 1,100 arrests that take place in Freeport each year. He says he'll need to add staff and upgrade antiquated technology to get all of the evidence to the prosecutors in time.
Every radio transmission recording from the officers and transmissions from all 911 calls would be included. All body cameras. Freeport was the first police department to mandate the use of every patrol officer with a body camera. Every body camera from every police officer will then have to be downloaded from the cloud. If you have 12 or 15 officers at the scene, every one of those body cameras is going to have to be downloaded for discovery.
Kennedy says the increased staff, overtime hours for police, and software updates will add an estimated 5.7% spending increase to his budget. That's in a state where there's a 2% per year property tax cap. Polls show that most New Yorkers support the reforms. Advocates who worked for passage of the law, including Nicole Triplett with the New York Civil Liberties Union, says the municipalities and law enforcement groups are not taking into consideration other costs that the current laws bring. The present discovery laws have resulted in thousands of low-income people housed in local jails, often for months at a time, while they've awaited court action for nonviolent crime charges. Triplett says many who are jailed because they cannot meet bail, lose their jobs, and sometimes lose custody of their children because they're unable to support them.
The cost that people have historically borne from the system has been hugely expensive. And so I don't think that the cost that these folks are facing should be considered in a vacuum.
Triplett says the changes to New York's laws are within the normal range of statutes in other states. She says the state of Texas has successfully implemented similar discovery reforms. And the state of New Jersey eliminated much of its cash bail system in 2017 without a major increase in recidivism rates or failures to appear in court.
By passing it, we're not out of the norm. In fact, by not passing it, we were at the margins and we were ranked, you know, closer to the bottom of states who had, you know, provided access to evidence for defendants.
She says when the changes happen in January, New York will go from one of the worst states for discovery disclosure to one of the best. Binghamton Mayor David says despite what he says are the hardships involved, he intends to comply with the new laws. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
At one Capital Region high school, students can add fades, tape-ups, and crew cuts to reading, writing, and arithmetic. WAMC's Jesse King explains.
When Green Tech High School, an all-boys charter school in Albany's Delaware Avenue area, reached out to Lewis Williams about leading a teen's barber class, he saw it as a way to pass on a career's worth of knowledge. Now owner of Celebrities Barbershop on Central Avenue, Williams has been cutting hair for 31 years, since he was just 12 years old.
This is like riding a bike. Once you know how to cut hair, you know how to cut hair. So you might get rusty, but once you pick up a pair of clippers and get back to it, you're going to pick up all your old skills.
Williams says his apprentices at GTH Shape Up, a bright green in-school barbershop complete with styling chairs, training mannequins, and a shampoo station, will learn everything it takes to be a barber, how to fine-tune their edge-ups, perfect their fades, and wash, cut, and shave hair. By program's end, Green Tech principal and CEO Dr. Paul Miller says students 16 and older can earn their license.
It's really a science. Cutting someone's hair is a science, and it's almost an art. They're going to learn about the chemistry and the different chemicals. They're going to learn on how to and what not to do and how to be safe as they're doing it.
This isn't Green Tech's first foray into vocational training. In its production studio, launched last year, students record, mix, and market their own songs. This year, students in a new entrepreneurship class will actually buy, build, and sell a house in Albany, hence the new construction tech lab next door to the barbershop, where Miller says students will practice land surveying, plumbing, roofing, and more. The school pushes its graduates to go to college, but Miller says it's not for everyone and sees the labs as a way of increasing students' options.
By the time they leave here, they will not only understand how to do these items for themselves, but they could go and work for different elements of a construction company and probably do well, or go work at a barbershop and make money, or cut hair while they're in college in their dorm room and make money and give them some kind of sustainability.
Miller says 15 students have signed up for GTH Shape Up so far, which will operate as an after-school program until it becomes a full-time elective next year. With family and friends in the barbering business, junior Keyshawn Rembert has been eager to get behind the chair.
Everything in the barbershop is like good vibes. Like if you got any problems, like life problems, you could go to the barbershop and then you know people there, you can get a haircut, and then it's just everything in the, it just brings good vibes in the barbershop because everybody's cool.
What are you going to do if you're in one of those situations where a person's hairline doesn't go straight? He doesn't want you to push it back to make it straight.
Cut it off.
But he has to still have that, he still has to have that straight hairline.
I mean, it's all about what he wants, though.
In his first class, William shares some of the top things he's learned as a barber. Communication is key, cleanliness is mandatory, and word of mouth can make or break your business. A bad haircut takes about 2 weeks to grow out. The biggest lesson Williams wants students to take away from the barbering life, however, is to not take it for granted.
A computer is never going to take over a barber. It's not going to happen. So we're always going to be here. You're in a place where you can financially have stability. But if you don't save your money, it's going to do you no good because the money comes so fast. You have to be able to put something to the side because if you don't put nothing to the side, the rainy days, you're not going to have nothing.
Established in 2008, Green Tech High School serves roughly 370 students across Albany, Schenectady, Rensselaer, and Troy. For pictures of the new labs and more information about GTH Shape Up, go to WAMC.org. Reporting from Albany for WAMC, I'm Jesse King.
And finally, a story we produced in August of 2018 was honored last week with a Massachusetts Broadcasters Association Award for Feature Story. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes filed a piece on a Pittsfield bowling alley that closed after a century. Here's that award winner.
A Pittsfield bowling alley that dates back more than a century is closing this week. On the second floor of the Wright Building, in the heart of downtown Pittsfield, Mike Herring, 46, is putting on a clinic on Lane 5 of the city's oldest candlepin bowling alley. It's a northeastern variant on bowling, with smaller balls and pins than the more commonly known 10-pin style.
Best thing is, the quicker the ball gets down, the more it rolls, the better action you get off the ball and off the pin. So it takes time to get good, so...
He's hurling grapefruit-sized balls down the polished lanes of the alley, which opened in 1914. Owner George Aslin, 76, watches from a nearby seat, nodding.
This game is all accuracy. It has nothing to do with spinning the ball, and it's timing, all timing and accuracy.
Timing is what led him to take over Candle Lanes in 1976.
I worked at GE, and GE was going to move And if I stayed, I'd have to go to Shreveport, Louisiana, Rome, Georgia, or South Carolina. And my wife said, I don't want to go to any, so I bought the bowling alley.
Aslan made the alley a home away from home.
So when I bought it, I threw the pool tables out, threw out all the bums, and I said, this is a family-type business. And ever since then, the business has tripled.
But now that business is ending. Plans are afoot to turn the alley and its neighbors in the building into condos. In July, a group of tenants were given notice to vacate their spaces in the 120-year-old Wright Building at 255 North Street by the end of August by current owner Cavalier Management, which declined to comment on the story.
Well, they just left signs on everybody's door, and some of the people out there don't even know it yet. So I don't know what they're going to do because, from what I understand, I got to leave. They all got to leave Friday, and they're going to change the lock. So I don't have a clue what they're going to do. It's not even funny, really, but I made up my mind. I'm done.
Aslan had already decided that the business would have to close before the notice. He's 15 months into chemo for leukemia, which has done a number on his body. He says his arms have no muscle left.
And my teeth are breaking off. My fingernails break off.
Aslan says the abrupt eviction notice will leave him with almost nothing.
I could have taken the top floor and sold everything off during the bowling season and then worked on down here. But as it turns out, I got a month, so I'm sort of like in a rush.
Aslan's family-style approach to the business has left many fans of Candle Lanes distraught, as many prepare to lose the hub of their social life.
Oh, it's real friendly, real friendly. I met a lot of people up here for years.
John Boyd says he started coming to Candle Lanes when he was a kid, and it became a familiar ritual in his life, from bowling in leagues to hanging out with Aslan and his other regulars. He told WAMC exactly what it was like to hear the alley was closing.
Sucked. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was bummed out about it. Still am.
Boyd, a Pittsfielder, doesn't know what he'll do to fill the void.
Probably, I don't know, find other things to do. I don't golf or nothing. I don't know. Like I say, you know, might try somewhere else, you know, for a while to bowl, but. If I don't like it, then I'll just find other things to do. You know?
Those who came to love the lanes, whether they bowled, played cards in the back room, or watched sports on the television behind the little seating area above the lanes themselves, sent Aslan off with their own tribute.
They threw a party for me, and they raised money for me, and they gave me gift certificates, and they just so sad. End of an era. They loved it here. But life goes on, right?
Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.